13, a very, very familiar set of scriptures, and I'm going to use it a little bit different, not to take away from a lot of the original meaning, but just to kind of add to it this morning. Matthew 16 and 13, let me say thank all of you that are here this morning. I'm so excited to see you, and I hope that you feel something that you want to come back and be part of this church. Matthew 16, 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Oh, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this." It didn't open it unto thee, "but my Father, the Spirit, which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Upon this revelation I will build my church. "And the gates of hell, it shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys." Everybody say keys. Keys to the kingdom of heaven. "And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." I want to talk about this title this morning, transposing life's keys. Amen. God, I come before you this morning. I'm thankful for an opportunity to be a servant this morning and talk to your people about your word and your will and your way, God. Help us to fully understand, reveal unto us, manifest unto us what you want us to see this morning in your word. Then let us be willing to do whatever we see in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. If it's handy for you, you don't have to go grabbing anything. But if you're handy, would you pull out your keys? You pull out your keys. Now, where's all y'all's keys? Huh? Where's your keys? Well, you got some keys? You don't have no keys? Got some keys? 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 Yeah, keys. Keys. You'd be glad you don't have no keys. When it comes along, these keys comes from responsibility. Whoever got the keys got the responsibility. And if I lose the key, nothing's going to start. Yeah, you're locked out if you don't have the key. This is not in my notes. I just want to talk to this little group right here. I know all of y'all want wheels, you know. When you get older, I just want wheels. When you first, you know, get your first car, you don't really care what it looks like as long as it's wheels. And I just want wheels. I just want to be able to go. I'm tired of being in the house and having to ask mama and daddy to take me places. And so, a lot of times, this is the way life goes. I'm just telling you, you're going to go through it anyway, but I'm just going to tell you. And a lot of times in life, what happens is you don't care when you first get those wheels, what that car looked like. But what happens when you first get, the first thing we try to satisfy is quantity in life. I just need one. I just need me a car. I just don't care what it looks like. I just need some wheels. And when you finally get those wheels and you start driving around and somebody makes a little fun of your wheels, say, "Where'd you get that clunker at?" Well, you was proud of it until they said that. And then after a while you go, "I'm going to get me a better job so I can get me some better wheels." And what happens is once quantity is supplied, then you go to quality. You see? It's just transportation. That's all it is. It gets you there and back just as good as a Mercedes-Benz. It doesn't matter. And a lot of times when people don't have names, they borrow somebody else's name. Tommy Kilfiger, you know. Want you to know I can afford Tommy Kilfiger. And they borrow BMW's name, and they borrow Mercedes-Benz, and they borrow other people's name because they're not important, but they want you to think I'm important. So they go, see, that's when you start getting into this quality of life. And that's what you don't want to do, do you? Go, "No, Brother Baggett, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that." Because whoever has the keys, you see, has responsibility. And so I got keys on here, y'all. I don't even know what they go to. How many of y'all have keys you don't even know what they go to? I look at these keys and I say, I can take this one off, and this one off, and I don't even know what they go to till I get to the place that I need it. Hallelujah. So be careful in life that you don't compete with the rest of the world. I mean, I can't see what anybody drove here this morning. We just got here. Thank the Lord. We just got here. And be careful that you don't, you know, keep up with the Joneses, and the Jones may have it and you don't. It breaks you and you go bankrupt because you're trying to keep up with them. That's not God's plan either. Hallelujah. So sometimes we need to be satisfied. As Paul said, he said one place, he said, eat what is before you. And my dad and mama used to quote that when they put broccoli before me. Eat what Paul said, eat what's before you. Okay. Transposing life's keys. Amen. If you've ever been to a concert, and it's this morning, you've heard some wonderful singing, and it was only pleasant to the ear if it was in harmony. If they were playing in the same key, if they were singing the same song, and everybody was harmonizing because of the key. Amen. The key is so important to everything. I used to play a trumpet when I was in high school, and it was a B-flat instrument. In case you know about instruments, that wind instrument was a B-flat instrument. A saxophone, a soprano saxophone, is an E-flat instrument. A piccolo, anybody know what a piccolo is? A D-flat instrument, okay? And a flute is a G instrument. And a banjo is a G instrument. And they're all easier to play. Now listen close. I'm going to teach you something this morning. They're all easier to play in the key they were created in. So that someone who has a B-flat instrument, and somebody says, let's play an A. You go, ha, ha, ha. So they're easier to play in the key they were created in. And then if you get with people that have B-flat instruments, you just say, hey, let's play in such and such. And they all just, it's easy. They all play in a light. But if you get with the choir and you get with the band and you've got a B-flat instrument and she's got a G instrument and somebody else has a D-flat instrument and you say, this is written in the key of Asia Minor. Let's all play. Then you've got to do something called transpose. Some people were born, they were created with some things. Some people were created with works of the flesh. They just got a temper. I'm sorry. They wake up angry. They go to bed angry. They drive angry. Don't let me talk about driving again. Hallelujah. Some people are selfish. They're just selfish. It's mine, mine, mine. They were just created that way. Other people got so much pride, they're dirt poor, but boy, they've got pride. Some people just want to argue. That's all they want. They wake up wanting to argue. They go to bed wanting to argue. They just want to argue. And if they can get with somebody on the same key, we'll just argue it out. But they get with somebody who's in a different key, they don't know how to handle themselves. Because they're used to arguing. Are you with me this morning? So as long as every instrument in the band was created in B-flat, they can all play easily in B-flat and in unison without any transposing. But a lot of times a concert is like a church, and we have all kinds of keys that we have that make up the body of Christ. And so we must work together as one so that when you heard the singing this morning, you said, boy, that sounds good. This somebody may be transposed. You saw me grab one harmonica I'd have to look at because I had to transpose. I had to get a different harmonica for every key they did because I don't play in the. They weren't. That harmonica was not created in the same key that the keyboard was. And there's all kinds of keys in the church, but there's only one Jesus. Can't you say amen? Thank God for that. Amen. Jesus, as long as Jesus was the key, see, he was the key to all the apostles and all the disciples. As long as he was alive, he was the glue that held the wood together. But as soon as he died, they all splintered. Amen. Somebody's got to be the key in a marriage. Somebody's got to be the key on the job. Somebody's got to be the key wherever you're at. Somebody is the key. You have the keys this morning. That helps, starts, locks, or unlocks various things. I had an aunt and an uncle, and I'm telling you, they lived in the key of A sharp. I'm telling you, they lived in the key of A sharp. They, I'd never forget, they used to come to our house, and I dreaded it when they would come. I dread it. They'd sit across the table at night and argue back and forth. I thought, Lord, their marriage is not going to last through the morning. They're not going to last through the morning. And they was getting on each other. And well, I'll tell you, I ought to just leave you and all this kind of stuff. Next morning, get up. Honey, how would you like your eggs? Oh, I'd like them over easy, darling. Thank you so much. And they stayed married for 50-something years. Why? They were on the same key. They were both A sharp. But if an orchestrator says to an orchestra, we all need to play in the key of G, this is what it was written in, then all the instruments that are G plays in their natural key, but all the instruments that are not must transpose. To some, it comes natural to be nice. Others got to work at it. Some people, it's natural to smile. Other people got to work at it because they have to be able to transpose. You should not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Sometimes you got to look at something one way, and y'all come see us sometime. Yeah, good to see y'all. And it ain't good to see them. Y'all come see us. So you don't want them coming to your house. No. But love y'all. We'd be praying for you. Right. You have to transpose just to play along. Just so you don't. If she would have tried to play in G and Brother Ken tried to play in F and the drums can play in any key, I found out, and I'd have tried to play in Asia Minor, it'd been terrible. I don't like that song, but I'm going to play along. You see what I'm saying? Because I want it to sound good in the Lord's ears. I want to be pleasing in His sight. How about you? Amen. Amen. So we all have to be able to transpose. And I played the trumpet when I was growing up as a B-flat instrument. My instructor taught me how to read notes. I'll never forget. He taught me how to read notes. And we got the hymn book out. Got a hymn book? Here we go. And we got a hymn book out, and I could read those notes. And I could play those notes. And I got to where I was pretty good. I like that song, Walking by Faith with Christ the Lord. I trust Him completely. And it had a little jazzy tune to it. And I was playing that. And I finally got to where I could play a number of those songs. I said, hey, I'm ready to play in church. He said, no, you're not. I said, I can play this song. He said, yeah, by yourself. See, you can play it good, but by yourself. If you're going to play in church, you have to learn how to transpose. And I said, what's that? He said, what you have to do, you have a B-flat instrument. I said, I do? I didn't know. He said, so when you look at this note, you have to move it up in your mind a whole step. So that when you see this note with your eyes, your mind will change it to something else that's a little higher. And you, what comes out of your lips through that horn is not what you really see on that paper, but it's what you've transferred it to be in your mind. Are you understanding me? So if you want to play with everybody else, you better learn to transpose, or you'll be playing solos all your life. And some people wonder why they don't have any friends. It's because they don't know how to transpose. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. A key is something that is critical to providing an explanation or an interpretation. It's the key. The Bible talks about the key of knowledge. It talks about the key of David. And it's a key. It provides an explanation. It controls the means of achieving the desired results. You start your car with a key. You can unlock and lock things with a key. Hallelujah. To transpose means the ability to change positions. Hallelujah. Change position. The ability to be in a different key with an instrument that was naturally made a certain way. I was raised this way. That's good you was raised that way. But if you're going to get along in life, you better learn to transpose some things in life. Or else you will find out you're always upset, you're always mad, you don't get along with anybody because you never learn to transpose life's notes. Hallelujah. In heaven, they're playing music. And you know, Satan was the music leader in heaven. You remember that? Lucifer was the music leader. He lost his job, and the church took his place. Hallelujah. So we as a church, we sing praises unto God. Hallelujah. God wants us all to be on the same key. Hallelujah. At the same time. Hallelujah. When Jesus came into Caesarea Philippi, his disciples, he was walking out of the city with them, and he said to them, "Who does the world say that I am? What key do they think I'm playing in?" And they said, "The key of the prophets." They think you're Jeremiah, like Jeremiah, Elias, just one of those other prophets. He said, "But what key do you think I'm playing in?" And there's kind of a silence come across, I guess, 11 of them. "Whom do thou say the Son of Man is?" See, they said he's just like one of the other prophets, another man. Are you catching this? Who do you say the Son of Man is? He's just another man, like one of these other men. He said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter spoke up, and he said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." So he's had a revelation there, because the Son of Man was the Son of God. You're not just another man that hears from God. You are the Son of God. You are God in flesh. And he said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." Got some keys? You got them. The keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. Because we're going to play this in harmony. We've got to be on the same key. We got all factions of people that know how to get there. Right? Different keys. But he said to Peter, "You have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you say, that is the way it will be in heaven." We've got to play in harmony. The keys that Christ was referring to was the ability for Peter to see that the Son of Man was the Son of God. He wanted him to preach that as the keys to understanding the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven, for the most part, we understand to be the will of God on earth. And the King of heaven, Jesus, God, took on flesh and stepped down so that he could be in harmony with man. Are you hearing me? He came down from glory because when I couldn't go to him, he came to me. And he unveiled himself in flesh and walked around with us, and we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. He's one of us. He's Emmanuel, God with us. So now he understands us because he walked in our shoes. For the Bible says we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the infirmities of his people, but was tempted in all ways such as we were. I'm glad to know that. I'm glad to know that God went through trials and temptations too. Hallelujah. But when he left, folks, when he left, he sends back his spirit. And he told Nicodemus, "You must be born again to see" what? "The kingdom of heaven." You must be born again of the water and of the spirit, or you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. We've got to be in harmony. Now that he has come to us, it is our turn to go to him. And now that he's been like us, it is our turn to be like him. Because he was the first fruits of the born again. He was the first fruits of the resurrection. And we are to be sown in his likeness. So that when he comes, we also shall be as he is when he shall appear. So many times in life, we get off key. Anybody ever said, I just lost it? Oh, we don't have honest folks in church. Oh, come on. Come on. I just lost it. You know? I just. And sometimes we get off key. And we have to realize I was created off key. I was created in sin. I was born in sin. I was shapen in iniquity. I was born to be angry. I was born with all the works of the flesh. Hallelujah, because I was flesh. But when I get off key, I've got to find a way to get back into harmony with God. Our old nature must be transposed into from the works of the flesh to the gifts of God or the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I tell you, you know, we need to be willing to change our behavior. Change our behavior. I was born this way. Well, big deal, change. My mama raised me this way. She was wrong. Sometimes you just got to admit some things and change. And so many times people don't try to change their behavior. I'm telling you, I've heard this term bipolar before. You ever heard that? I got a battery out the other day, and my tractor wouldn't start. Brother, it left me stranded. And I said, well, maybe it's that battery. I don't know. So, you know, don't do that. Y'all close your ears up. Don't. It's okay. Don't listen to this. But when your car don't start and you want to know if the battery's hot, you get you a wrench and a screwdriver. And you put one on one pole and one on the other, and it'll melt. I said, it's hot. It's hot. And so some people, I hear this term bipolar. I really don't know what it means, but I'm going to tell you something. David was tripolar. I'm telling you, that guy could change his behavior just like that. I mean, one day he's out killing giants, and the next day he's running from his own son. Amen. I mean, one day he's committing adultery, and the next day he's crying, oh, God, forgive me for my sin. He could change his behavior. One day, he came before King Achish. You remember that story? And he had the sword of Goliath with him. And they said, hey, that's David there. That's that giant killer. Let's bring him to the king and show him who came into our camp. And by the time they got that dude to the King Achish, he was going, the Bible says he played the part of the madman, and he had spit running down his beard, and he was scrabbling on the wall. He could change his behavior just like that. And sometimes you need to change your behavior. He could have said, yeah, I'm that giant killer. They said, kill him. Take his head off like they did God. But he was smart enough and quick enough to say, I can't act that way. I've got to get rid of that pride. You know, I've got to do something so I can get along here. I want him to let me go. And the king said, let that guy go. He's crazy. And as soon as he got outside that camp, I show you next time, you know. I mean, he was. And you and I need to realize that we need to change our behavior quickly, quickly, quickly. You can't just be down for 3 weeks. Quickly change your behavior. Joseph was a man who knew how to play in any key. I mean, it could be B flat in the pit, A sharp in the palace. It didn't matter. He had dreams at daddy's home. He had dreams in the prison. He played in B during the betrayal. He was G in governor. I'm telling you, but the hardest thing you'll ever change in your behavior is the key of F for forgiveness. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Even Joseph had to go in another room and cry. What do I do with these people? I want to see if their heart has really changed or not before I forgive them. I want to see if they really changed. So he tested them. So I'm not forgiving them until I make sure they've changed. It's hard to forgive people that have done you wrong. But as Christ forgave you, the keys that will get you forgiveness is to forgive others. The key to forgiveness for your sins is to forgive others. Because he said, I don't forgive you if you don't forgive others. And in closing, I won't be much longer. One of Paul's writings, he said, I become all things to all men that I might win some. I become all things to all men that I might win some. To the Greek, I was smart. I was a Greek. we talk attorney stuff. But to the barbarian, I'm like, you shoot the rabbit or me shoot the rabbit? What do you want to do? Whatever you want. If you want to talk about the weather, I'll talk about the weather with you. If you want to talk about the economy, I'll talk about the economy with you. You want to talk about church, I'll talk about church. You want to talk about music, I'll talk about music. I'll talk about anything you want to talk about because I want to win you. And I can't win you unless I change my behavior to be like you. I don't mean sinful things. You understand what I'm talking about? But I've got to get you to have confidence in me so that later I can lead you rather than you leading me. I become all things to all men. Why? Because I want to win somebody. Do I have any soul winners in the house? Do you want to win anybody to Christ? Hallelujah. You can't win them being stuck up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to listen closely. I want to teach you for the next few minutes how to transpose and be successful and happy in life and in Christ. And if you're not willing to transpose, you're dismissed. You're dismissed. Because if people are not willing to change, preachers waste their time. You come here because you're willing to change. I think all of us want to be happy in life. Paul writes, now listen close. Paul writes in his second epistle to the church at Corinth in the 12th chapter, he said, "It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." I don't want to boast. One thing Paul, I think, had a problem with, Brother Valentine, is he was always on the edge of saying, "Look at me." He was always on the edge. He'd say, "If you want to boast, well, I can do that. You know, I can." He was always on the edge, but he would rebuke himself back into his position. But he said, "I won't exalt myself and doubtless glory about what, you know, what I'm doing for Christ, but I have come to visions and to revelations. I have seen some things that heaven opened up to me." And he says, "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago." Now, we all know it's him. It's Paul. But he's left his own name out, although we know it's him. "I know a man about 14 years ago, whether in the body," now he's being transposed, "I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one was caught up to the third heaven." Huh. He was transposed several keys. He was transposed into whatever heaven was playing. He was in harmony with heaven. I wonder how many of you have ever prayed until you was caught up. I'm not talking a little lay me down to sleep prayer. I'm talking about being alone and praying till you were caught up. You didn't know what time it was. I mean, that feeling, you didn't want it to go away. You just wanted to stay there and be in harmony with heaven. Hallelujah. He said, "Such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How he was caught up," now he says, "into paradise, a place of splendor and happiness, and heard unspeakable words." Lord, they were playing in keys I've never heard, which is not lawful for a man to utter. "I was there," he said. "I was listening to the glorious music that was going on in heaven, but there was something pulling me back down to earth." You know, one place Paul said, "I'm ready to die, but it's more expedient I stay with you." And so he said, "I'm torn betwixt the two." And here he's gone basically to a heavenly being, if you will, but he's still in an earthly body. And he said, "For though I desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me that which is he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation." You see, you gotta be careful when God starts blessing you. You gotta be real careful when God starts showing you things and God starts giving you things and God starts blessing you and you start prospering, because it's real hard to keep that flesh down. Even the prophet, or the king Saul, that first king, the Lord told him, Samuel said, God could use you as long as you was humble. Where? In your own eyes. As long as you was humble in your own eyes, God could use you. But when you exalted yourself in your own eyes, you came down in God's eyes. So he said, I have this abundance of revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Got your keys, brother? Put it right there. Yeah, not in your ear. There you go. It was given to me. It's a key, but it sure is a thorn. It's hard sometimes to play out some things in life when you have a thorn. You know, I do a lot of hunting and all, and just the other day, I was walking and I felt a sticker get in my shoes. So I just decided to walk like this. But I had a long ways to go. And I said, oh, I can take it. I'm telling you the truth. Now, I do this by myself, and I'm confessing. I can take it. Ouch, 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 ouch. And finally, I said, I've had enough of it. I got to get rid of this thorn. I had to take my sock off. It was inside of my sock. But I got it. And then I could walk without that pestering me. Paul said, I got a thorn. Yeah, I was caught up to the third heaven. Yeah, I got revelations. Yeah, but you know what? I got a thorn in the flesh, and it is the messenger. It's the mailman from hell. It is the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above me. See, he was always on that edge. He said, he gave me this to remind me that without him, I'm nothing. He gave me this to remind me that he could take me down just like he brought me up. And every time he thought he was going someplace, the devil would say, some more mail. Here's your mail. And it was the same old trouble. Same old thing. For this thing, he said, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. I prayed, I fasted, I got sincere, I shut everything down, and I said, God, take it away. God, take it away. Ooch, ouch, ooch, ouch. But I have got to learn to live with it. And the Lord spoke back to him, and he said unto me, my grace, say my grace, his grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, Paul said, I had to get over that. Most gladly, therefore, I'd rather glory in the infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. Here's what he's saying. I'd rather go ooch, ouch, ooch, ouch. But the Lord's still blessing me, and I'm still enjoying life. That's not perfect, you understand, but I'm enjoying life. But I'd rather that than be able to walk really good, you know, and not have that pain and lose my soul. And let that pride be exalted. And let that thing come up in me that I'm fighting anyway. And before long, God doesn't even talk to me. Where'd my revelations go? Where'd my blessings go? You see? So he said, I'd rather keep it because now I understand that his strength is made perfect in my weaknesses. Therefore, he said, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. That's what you and I need to see. I take pleasure in these things for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Wow. When I am weak, then his grace is sufficient that I can get strong. Get strong what? To overcome what's bothering me. He makes me strong enough that I can say, yeah, I know I got it, but I'm going on. I'm going to keep playing. Yeah, I broke a string on the fiddle, but I'm going to play anyway. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's a little out of tune, but I'm going to play anyway. Hallelujah. As they come this morning, no matter what you're going through in your life, you've got to keep playing. Heaven is counting on you. Let me just say this. You ever seen an orchestra? How many of you ever watched an orchestra? Yeah. Yeah, good. Good. If you haven't been, you need to go because everybody's got their part. And what I like is that God has got these, you know, the cymbals. And he waits. Because it's not a big part, you know. I mean, the flutes are playing and the violins are going and, you know, and everybody, and you're, ooh, this is cool. And here he is. But when it's his time, ka-ching, ka-ching, and it makes all the difference in the world. Just that little, that's all it was, but it's a big part of the orchestra. And he says, so is the body of Christ. Oh, we all want to be an eye. Yeah, we all want to be an eye and a head. And he said, but he said, I bestowed more value on the more comely parts of the body. You know what your comely parts are? Those ugly toes you got. You stump that ugly toe, you start seeing stars out of your eyes. I'm telling you, it'll shut your world down. You didn't think much about it till you stubbed that toe. Now you don't walk straight, and it's just, he said, I bestowed more value on the more unbeautiful, if you will, less beautiful parts of the body. And I want to tell you, a church is made up. The backbone of a church is not made up by what you see this morning. The backbone of a church is made by people who hit their knees. Ka-ching! Ka-ching! And you don't hear them until it's time to hear them. You don't hear them until it's time for them to shine. But somebody is in the background waiting to do their part. And that's really what makes the body. You see me speaking, you say, oh, Brother Baggett. I'm going to tell you, without your prayer, if you don't come, who am I going to preach to? So it's really not about me, it's about you. And you doing your part so I can do my part. And if we'll work in harmony, in unison, which I thank God in this church we have, if we work in harmony, we will progress. It will make good music to people that come in and visit us and want to be part of this because we have the harmony and the unison. And you feel it when you walk in the doors. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not going to quit playing. Brother, every sermon I preach wasn't as good as another one. I always say the best sermon I preach is the last one. Thank God I'm still preaching. But there's sometimes I hit some highs and I hit some lows. And every once in a while I get off key. But you know what? I'm not quitting. I'm adjusting. And a lot of times in winning people to Christ in this day we live in, you have to adjust how you approach them. You have to adjust how you teach them. You have to adjust a lot of things. You have to transpose because this generation is not like former generations. Hallelujah. Heaven is playing this morning in the key of C. And you have a B-flat instrument. You can do it yourself all you want to. I don't need nobody. I just do it myself. But if you ever learn to transpose, change positions, change the way you view it. That instructor told me when you see that C note in your mind, you transpose the position to one whole step higher. And then when it comes out of your mouth, it will be what your mind told it to say. Are you understanding me this morning? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's not what goes in, Jesus said, that defiles a man. It is what comes out. Would you stand? Hallelujah. No matter what you're going through in life, no matter if you broke a string, out of tune, off key, whatever, just be willing to change your behavior. And change the way you look at things. Hallelujah. And change what comes out of your mouth. And you will find you will be in harmony with heaven. In harmony with other people. No, not everybody likes me. I'm not trying to tell you that they do. And I don't like everybody else. But you know what? I'm going to get along with everybody. I'm going to get along with